From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Andrew Richards, and this is Defrag Tools. Solo today, Chad and Larry are out. Larry's actually out scoping Charnon Live for the Microsoft Unified event next year, you know, that replaces TechEd. Today we're going to go actually off expectation and actually do some episodes that people have been asking for. What we're going to do is write a debug extension, but we're going to do it in C# this time, and then show you how you can do managed code analysis. The plan was to do this a little bit later, but a lot of people said, can you do it now? So we've pulled it forward and pushed out another couple of episodes, so you'll see some weird date times on the taskbar. This will be a three-part episode. All of the code is already available on the OneDrive. Of note, I changed the OneDrive link recently. So if you have the old link, it won't work anymore. It'll just redirect to a folder that says, please follow this new link. So look for the new folder. All right, so what we need to do is use some infrastructure that's been developed by third parties and by Microsoft to achieve a debug extension as a C# app. One of those two is a thing called the Microsoft.diagnostics.runtime component, better known as CLRMD, CLR Managed Debugger. And most people internally tend to call it CLRMD. What it does is two things. It wraps the iDebug interfaces from dbgeng, and it also wraps MS Core DACworks, which is the underlying DLL underneath SOS as well. And so you can represent yourself as a debugger extension using the structures that he has defined for you and made it easy. Kind of like a p-invoke type responsibility of making all of the right signatures. And also, as I said, it can drill into MS Core DACworks. We're not going to focus on that part, actually. We're going to focus on the debug side, but that's what it's all about. There's a blog post about this when it got released back in May last year. It's all about getting a NuGet package and integrating that into your Visual Studio solution. The other one you need is this unmanaged exports. By default, a CLR application, a DLL, when you make it, is compiled as IL, which intrinsically means you can't have an export in it. But we need to have the DLL initialize and all those other functions, like the commands that you want to expose, as exports. And a person called Robert from under the MIT a license agreement has made this NuGet package that supports DLL exports. So we'll be using that to actually achieve the export from the app. So what this episode is going to do is run you through the steps in Visual Studio to actually make the project, make it compile correctly, use those NuGet packages, and then just get to the point where it boots. So it turns up in .chain, but it doesn't do anything more. So the first step is to launch Visual Studio, and we're going to make a new project. And this is going to be a C# project. And what we're going to make is a class library. And we'll call it, I don't know, Defrag. And just to make it easier to find on the hard drive, we'll put it in projects. Class library, as I said, normally is an IL level library, so we're going to be modifying the makefile. First thing we're going to do is add the NuGet packages. So jumping back to the NuGet.com or .org, what we're looking for is the unmanaged exports project. So we're going to grab that. And then up here under tools, library package manager, and then what we want is the package manager console. And we'll get a PM command prompt. And we're going to run that text that I copy paste off the screen. I got it from the website here. And what that's going to do is download the package, integrate it into the solution, and make it all work. Now, as I said, not by default, you're going to have an IL based thing, and it actually warns you that you are not doing the right thing. So this is a good opportunity to use the configuration manager to solve that. And what we're going to do, we're going to have a new configuration, and we're going to make a x64 one, and then we're going to do new configuration, and we're going to have an x86. And so now if we go into batch build, you'll see that we actually have, we've copied the settings from any CPU, and we have an x64 and an x86 variant in debug and release. We actually can clean those any CPUs up, so we're going to do that straight away. Save everything and do a quick jump to the hard drive. Find the Visual Studio project, this one right here, and I'm going to open it with Notepad. You can do this through the UI, but I find this particular stage much easier just to do it here. We're looking for all any CPU project groups. There's one there, one there, one there, and one there. And so what we're left with is the 64s and the x86s. Save that. Reopen the solution. And now when you look at batch build, we'll be down to the four that we need. Do a select all just for the future and press close. So that's given us the ability to export DLLs. And what else we need to do is integrate the CLR things. Now you'll notice it has the word pre on it. And I'm gonna stress this. This is a pre-release beta release. We don't support it. We don't guarantee that it's ever gonna get to 1.0 release. It just exists at the moment. It really is a pre-release and should be treated as such. So we'll grab this package and we'll integrate that into the solution as well. Gets downloaded and now that's finished. So if we look under the folder that we made, here's the solution. Here's the C# DLL that we're making with a class that it gave you by default. And here's the packages that we have used. And here's the diagnostic runtime, and which is the CLR stuff, and this is the DLL stuff. The DLL one is actually a compile time only assembly. We don't actually need it for at runtime. So there's actually no need to release it. Microsoft Diagnostic Runtime, on the other hand, is needed. And what you need to do is grab the DLL and deploy it. So for our case, because we're going to be running in the debugger folder, we need to put it there. I happen to already have it there, and put it in. Now the Microsoft Diagnostic Runtime component is an IL DLL, which means it is language architecture agnostic, which means you can copy the same binary into both x86 and x64. All right, so at this point, if I just do a batch build, the solution has not treated this as, missed a button one. It's treating it as a console app. It needs to be a class library. Save that, batch build, and everything's fine. So now we have all these DLLs made. And basically, this is the debugger extension that we are trying to generate. At the moment, though, we're not actually exporting anything. We don't actually have anything being shown to the user programmatically that can be called. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into something I've already written before, just to speed things up, and look at the first one in the three parts. So each one of these examples will be an episode. So what we're doing at the start is we want to do the appropriate exports so that the debugger can load the extension and then run commands. And what that the RGISCI DLL export namespace does is it gives you this new attribute that can be assigned to a function. You'll notice that this has to be a static class with static members. Obviously with an export, it can't come with any heap allocation. And what it does is it exports this word, which these two have to match, of course, in the binary. So what happens is when you are in a C++ program, much like say WinDBG, is when you do a load library, well, normally you would need between you and the destination function the CLR framework. And that's what this code does for you automatically. The DLL exports package writes all this mangling code for you so that it will get invoked as a native program. It will bring up the CLR runtime, the .NET framework, and it will then instantiate the static class and then call into the function. So it's done all that glue for you. So in the caller, they are completely unaware that they've actually invoked a CLR application. And so when it comes down to a debugger extension, you need at minimum extension initialize. You've got to fill in the version structure with the appropriate way. To help that, we've written a little helper function that shifts all the bits correctly and gives you the correct number. I'm going to point out right now, Lee Culver, the author of SOS and CLRMD, helped me extremely, a huge amount in getting this working and provided all these tidbits. So a big shout out to Lee to say thank you for all your help, and both in getting this episode organized, but also big help, thank you for what you do with SOS and CLRMD. So that's the basic debugger stuff. And then when we want to do anything, we need to export a command. So I'm just calling it my command. And in this case, we want to do some work. What I'm doing is I'm deferring the responsibility to another class. The command is worrying about what it takes to represent itself, or the command class is worrying about what it takes to represent itself as iDebug client. So it's all about turning that pointer that normally comes across natively into something that the CLR intrinsically can use. Now, you'll notice that iDebug client is actually being represented by Microsoft Diagnostics Runtime Interrupt iDebug client. This is what CLRMD gives you. There's the runtime namespace, which is about just analysis of the CLR, and the interrupt namespace that's about the engagement with iDebug client. The CLRMD actually works external to the debugger, so you can do just use the runtime by itself and attach to a program, for example. You don't have to run it as a debugger extension. The interrupt namespace is for that purpose. And so what we're going to do in the constructor is we're trying to map just this, you know, pointer that's been given to this raw pointer that realistically CLR knows nothing about. It's actually passed as an int pointer, which is a void star pointer, a memory pointer. And what we're going to try to do is turn it into an iDebug client that is understandable in the CLR namespace. So this function takes the pointer, and then we actually use some marshalling code to turn this raw number, this raw address, into an iUnknown. And then that's represented as an object. So the comcallable wrapper subsystem of the CLR is being used here. It represents, this object now represents an iUnknown interface, which iDebug client is derived from. And then we cast that to with iDebug client, which intrinsically does a query interface under the covers. And then we have a local variable that represents the client. So in the constructor, we've called the associated client code, which is this function, to get to the point where we have an M client that we can use. Now, to take that a bit further, if you want to just use the M client, you know, iDebug client right now, you can just use it and you can do all the things that you can do in a C++ project. If you add this little bit extra code here and in this class, what we can do is in a command, instead of having to do, now, I have an M client, I'm going to get iDebug control, and I'm going to call output and all that type of stuff. We can actually redirect the console output to be the iDebug control output. And this is what this code here is achieving. The first step is to make an instance of our iDebug stream class, which I'll explain in a sec. It's a type of stream writer, and then we say auto flush is true, which means every time something goes out, make sure you emit it straight away. And then we set the output stream on the console, which means that when you have a command that comes along like this one below, and you do a console.write line, for example, it will actually get redirected to iDebug control's output, which means it will get redirected to the WinDBG window. So let's have a look at the debug and stream class that we've got. Once again, Lee wrote all this and made it the magical happen. Debug streams are just a type of stream. It's designed to represent, as I said, an iDebug control output device. We have some cleanup code, clear, so that when you've got to implement all these functions, right? And so this is doing the appropriate things to make it work. At some point, we're going to end up with an M client and an M control. They're common objects, so they're released as such. Here's the constructor, one-to-one copy of the client, and then a query interface for the control. As I said, these will clear them up when required. Most of the interface is not supported. So, you know, can you read, can you seek, can you write? Read is false, seek is false, write is true, because we're a writing stream. When we do a flush, there's nothing inherent to do. Length, because you can't read or move or seek, length and position are inappropriate calls. Read throws a not implemented exception, same with seek, same with set length, all these things that we don't want to support. And then finally, we get down to the bottom where it actually achieves the goal. What we do is we end up, we get passed a buffer, which is a string buffer, and we make an encoding object, a UTF-8 encoding, and then we encode the string, which is passed in, you know, what we got passed in. And then once we have that string, we can pass it into the interrupt, the microsoft.diagnostics.runtime.interrupt version of iDebug control with its own custom structures and enumerations, and put it out to the screen. In this case, the decision has been made to use control output, so that way we can specify the DML flag. So when the string goes through, you can have markup in it. And in this case, we're just using the normal stream. So if we go back to the command, you'll see that if we output this guy, you'll have bold markup around the command. And then on the first line for hello world, and then on the second line, you'll just echo what were the arguments to the command. How did this command get executed? It's over in our exports. Here's the raw export that came in. This is what you'll be writing in a def file in a C++ solution. Here's the interface pointer coming in, and we're marshalling the string that comes in as an ASCII single character string. We make the command, pass in the client so that the iDebug control is filled in internally, and then we execute the command. In this case, because args is required for the internal command, we pass in args through to the foreign thing. All right, so that's all the code it takes to actually make it run. So let's have a look at running it. So when we're debugging this thing, what we're going to do is, currently this is the x86 solution. So we're going to choose WinDBG as the target. What we're going to do is load the extension. Now, unfortunately, there is no, I don't believe there's any pseudo variables you can use here to much like you can in C++ and say, you know, brackets target name. You actually have to write it all out. So in this case, I'm pointing it to the folder where the code is compiled to. And then because I need a .NET application to debug against, I have one of my demo apps that we've been using. It's available on the OneDrive. And so that points to the correct folder to make that work. And so it says load this extension and then run this app. So let's do that. So let's compile. So at this point, we're at the initial breakpoint of the app. So the CLR is not loaded yet. So if we do a K, also do an LM, you'll see that there's not really much loaded. If we do a go, you'll see the app pop up. This is a .NET 4 app. You can see all the loads of the .NET 4 assemblies. And we can break in and see that .NET is loaded right there, CLR. And so we can also look at the library here. Here's the dot chain of what we've got. So in this case, we've only done one export, which is the my command. And as expected, the first line came out bold and there's nothing on the second line because I didn't pass anything. But if I pass something, it's echoed on the screen. So a lot of really tricky steps. The thing to remember is use the tools library manager, package manager console to run those install scripts from the nougat.org to incorporate those two into the website or into the project. In the configuration manager, make sure you set up so that you have the x64 and x86 platform rather than any CPU. Make sure that you have a class library set rather than a console or anything else. And then when you're debugging, use the appropriate WinDBG architecture to do the work. When it comes to exports, this keyword comes from Robert's namespace that he makes for us. And it's a matter of changing the static classes into a non-static class, so it's a bit easier to handle member variables and stuff. All right, so we're going to leave it with this time. It's a good point to stop and just realize you now have the ability to write any debug extension you want. In this command file over here, there's nothing stopping you query interfacing for any interface that you want to use and calling anything that we've talked about in the 9-part series on C++ debugger extensions. Next week, we're going to take it a little bit further and move it out of the iDebug client world, and we're going to bring up the ability to investigate a CLR runtime. And then finally, we're going to go have some fun with that using link queries and stuff to show how far you can push CLRMD and enjoy what it can do. All right, as always, put your comments and questions in the show notes below, in the comment section below, and email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And have a good week. Thank you.